Welcome to the Ambitious Introvert podcast, created especially for introverts, empaths, and highly sensitive entrepreneurs to help you build, grow, and scale a successful, sustainable business. I'm your host, Emma Louise Parks, business and mindset coach for ambitious introverts. After 17 years working as an air traffic controller, the ultimate fast-paced, high-stimulus, extrovert-friendly role, my mission now is to show introverts that they too can create big results and success because of who they are, not in spite of it. I focus on introvert-friendly business and marketing strategy to help you switch overwhelm for clarity, confidence, and clients. And welcome to this week's episode of the Ambitious Introvert podcast. And slight discussion before we started recording with today's guest, and I think is true for most of us, is that no one gets taught in school what an introvert is and whether they are one. It's generally something that we discover a little bit later in life and that we discover once we're on a journey to either entrepreneurialism or personal development. And the thing with that is we can be quite set in our ways and it can really rock our identity when we get to that point to discover something about ourselves. So we're going to be discussing today a little bit more about what that means and how you cannot let it label yourself, but how that feeling of, oh, this is why I am like I am, can be really, really quite freeing. So I'm going to hand over to today's guest to introduce herself. Hi, Sally.
Hi everyone, thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited. So I'm Sally Oddie. I am the Soulpreneur Success Coach and I'm a business marketing and mindset coach, and I help people who are very purpose driven and feel very soul aligned grow online businesses. And funnily enough, I do think that the vast majority of my clients would probably put themselves into the introvert, empath, highly sensitive person category, actually.
I think that's really interesting. I did another interview this week and the coach, she markets to smart women. And she said, she's got a very large audience. And she said, I think the majority of my people would identify, you know, with at least one of those categories. So I think it's very interesting because we do attract, you know, like attracts like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously we're going to have a chat about this, but I think that's one of the liberating beauties of stepping into who you really, really are, whether that's an introvert or an extrovert or whatever it is. Because I think one of the big things I always teach my clients is attraction marketing. And part of that is being 100% who you are, because that's the only real unique thing that we all have. And actually, when you really lean into that, that is when you attract those people who are so aligned with you. And it just actually does make business a lot easier to do. But like you say, it's actually kind of it's almost like finding your identity in such a noisy, crowded, and competitive space can be really, really challenging for people, actually.
It was so overwhelming for me. I mean, I didn't come into the online space until I was almost 40. I didn't even have personal accounts. So then to see all these people coach, you know, I'd been coaching for years offline, to see all of this. And I was like, oh, I have to be like that. You know, the thing was pink at the time. Everyone was pink. Everyone's branding was pink with splashes of gold. And I'm not a pink and gold kind of person. And I just did not know where I fit in. And honestly, this podcast as a vehicle to being my most authentic self, because I'm literally just having a chat, has got the best feedback of everything that I put out. And I think it's for that very reason.
Because you're just being real. But like what we were saying as well, just before we started recording, I do think that when you're in the online space, I always think it's good to be open to change. So when I first started, I was very much like you. I kind of branded, I think this is one of the funny things I think about being an introvert my whole life, is I think I've grown very adept at fitting in. And very adept at kind of faking it.
Yeah.
which I think does mess with your the strength of your personal identity, because you kind of you don't really know who you are because you're so malleable. You know, you kind of fit in with lots of different situations. So when I first came into the online space, which again was only about 2 years ago, I've had my own business since 2012. But again, like you, I was a marketing consultant in real life. And then I came online. And I very much, yeah, I kind of saw what else was out there. And I was like, oh, well, I should do this and I should say this. And I mean, I shudder now. When I started 2 years ago, I was talking about building a six-figure business because that's what everyone was saying.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I probably didn't really have a very clear understanding of what that actually even was. But it's taken me time to really sit in this space, to find my own voice, my own brand identity. So I think when people are starting out, like I always think that done is better than perfect. So I think just go for it, just start and follow your kind of gut. But don't be afraid to change, you know, as you go. I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm not going to do it until it's perfect. And then some people are like, well, I've done it now, so I can't change it. And I don't think either of those things are right, really. I think you can change, it's your business. You can change things if you want.
Oh, 100%. You know? It's a journey and it's an evolution. And yeah, I agree. Yeah, done is better than perfect is one of my favorites. But as introverts as well, we can get stuck in this. Oh, let me just fiddle around with this font on my website before I do anything else. And, you know, start to make everything's got to be perfect before I do this grand reveal. And then, of course, you're doing a grand reveal to no one because you haven't built an audience.
The thing about that is, and I'm sure this isn't true for everybody, but it's certainly true for me, that is a form of creative procrastination. And the reason we as introverts do that is because the other thing is more scary. So fiddling around with my website, fiddling around on Canva, changing my colors, changing my fonts, all of that stuff is my safe place. That's where I'm comfortable. I love doing it. And actually going out, doing a post, launching an offer, going live in Facebook, that stuff's really scary and confronting because it makes me feel really vulnerable. So I procrastinate by doing all of that other stuff. So I think that when you kind of realize that doing that is a form of procrastination and that's your trigger warning to say, hello, I'm avoiding doing something that actually is more important. You know, I think I always think that once you're kind of aware that you're having these behaviors and that they're hiding something bigger, you can then address it and move forward. I only really discovered that like last year that I was creatively procrastinating the hell out of everything. And as soon as I realized it, I was like, oh, right, okay, that's why I'm doing it. Oh, makes sense now.
And of course, we get into this loop as well because we want it to be perfect. So then we do a little bit more research to make sure that we're doing the right thing, which leads to, you know, more research, which leads to more tinkering around. And a client of mine, I had her write a list of working on her business and working in her business. And we put in the in business, that was the needle movers, that was the lives, that was the putting posts out there, that was engaging with people. I was like, this is the thing that's going to get you sales. And she tracked it. And she said she was working full time in her business to grow it. Nothing was happening. She was spending the majority of it, and I mean 90-odd% of it, behind the scenes, not getting out there in front of people. And I think that's quite a common mistake with introverts.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say there's the things we should be really focused on are the money now and the money later activities. And, you know, you kind of almost need to put your day through a filter, right? Okay, is doing this money now, money later, or is it actually something that isn't actually that important? You know, but like you say, I think, and something I hear loads is like, what do I focus on first? Like, what are those income generating activities that I need to focus on? And like you were saying just before, you know, when you get into business, like you're doing it because you're good at something, you're a coach, you're doing something you love. You know, my background is business and marketing, you know, but I've still had a steep learning curve on running an online business. So people who are coming into this space who don't have that business and marketing background, it stands to reason that you're going to have to try and learn and that you're not going to know all the answers, you know, that you're going to have to kind of really work to find them and to work with people like you and I who will help sort of steer you in the right direction, you know, because I think a lot of time can be wasted where you're not getting out there and your service isn't helping anybody because you're just stumbling around not knowing what to do, really.
I think it's so common. And like you say, you've been there, I've been there. And I think a lot of people that you know, my listeners might look at and go, oh, they're super successful. Look at their business. They've got, you know, this many followers or six or seven figures at some point on their journey have been there. And it doesn't always stop at the start. You know, when people up level, when they're looking to, you know, take on a team or scale or expand, then they find they still get these mindset blocks or this, you know, oh, I just need to design my course for 3 months. And it's like, really?
I don't know if it ever stops, really. I think that mindset work is the inner work is a lifetime's practice, in my mind anyway. Like, I don't think you ever kind of get there, you know. And anyone who looks at someone else and thinks, oh, she's there, like if you look at someone like Marie Forleo with B School, who's like been going for ages, if you actually read her book, like her, she spent like 20 years, you know, toiling. And even when she came up with the idea, it took her 7 years to hone it and get it to like what we know, you know. So it's easy to look at someone and think, oh, they've just got it, they're an overnight. But no, there's always so much more that goes into it than what we see on the glossy surface.
Or as one of my coaches used to say, every overnight success is 10 years in the making.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, it's like when you say how I became a six-figure business owner in 6 months. Yeah, 6 years and 6 months.
Yeah.
You might have billed six figures in 6 months, but it's all, everything you did before that really counts. And it's one of my biggest bugbears, actually, in the online space, is that people see the glossy headlines and they just believe it. And like, I speak to so many people who've invested thousands and thousands of pounds working with these big guru coaches who promise these huge results based on what they've done in their businesses. And either what they've done in their business won't work for you because you're not at that stage yet, or what they did 3 years ago won't work now because the online business world changes so rapidly.
I know that it's like the whole web Facebook ads webinar email list thing. That's great if you've got 25,000 people on your email list, but someone starting out with 50, you're not going to get that return. The effort that it's going to take you to put it all out there and set it all up, even if you converted at 3%, you're going to be disappointed because you're not going to be bringing in six figures.
I just think when you're starting, especially, you know, focus on that simple, organic, sustainable, I always say like steady, consistent action. Like, that's what's actually going to make the biggest difference in the long term. You know, get a plan and stick to it. You know, do the action consistently. The actions that you know are going to work, do those consistently. Now, I know people who are like, oh, well, I've gone live 3 times now and nothing's happened, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, it's not going to happen if you don't keep doing it. You've got to kind of keep doing it, you know. But the online business world is just, it's hard, man. It's a really tough space to be in. And I think especially for us introverts whose natural inclination is to go and hide in a hole, it's particularly difficult. I remember last year, actually, just to mention, I wanted to make sure I said this. I remember last year was the first time I really heard that the difference between an introvert and an extrovert was energetic. So an introvert fills up their energy from inside, but that's why we need our own time and to be on our own. And an extrovert needs other people to get energy from. And I'd never really heard that before. And it was actually only when I heard that I realized I was actually an introvert, you know, because I was like, oh my God, that's why I've always felt on the outside looking in. This is why I find people so draining. This is why if I don't have time alone, I literally feel like I'm climbing the walls, you know. So I feel like that sort of being aware of that energy as an introvert, you know, and yes, we've got to be on it a lot of the time because we're in online businesses. But I think in terms of our well-being, it's being aware that we need that time and space alone, you know, to just read a book or go for a walk or, you know, decompress and fill our own cups from the inside, you know. So yeah, it was only like last year that I kind of realized I am an introvert, really.
And that is such an important thing which we will cover about how, you know, it's not about putting yourself in a box and labeling yourself and going, oh, well, I can't do this because of this. It's about understanding, you know, this is what I need and this is what serves me well, and if I want to be at my best, this is what I need to do. And back in 2019, I went off to Los Angeles for a retreat, a lovely business retreat with amazing women in the Hollywood Hills. And it was in a big house in the Hollywood Hills that we could all stay. And I opted to get an apartment on my own. And people were like, what? why aren't you staying in the house? Oh, it's going to be so much fun after we've had like sessions all day. We'll all sit drinking wine and we'll do this together and we'll do that together. And I just knew
that
5 days of, you know, very ambitious, amazing women in that space together 24/7, for me, it was just going to be too much. And there were so many amazing, you know, speakers and sessions that I wanted to be able to go and process that internally, like you say, decompress. Mm. So I booked an apartment. Actually, one of my friends who was coming, she was like, yeah, I've been on these retreats before and it's a bit much. Do you mind if we get an apartment together? And having that space to just come away from it and recharge, I don't think I could have gone otherwise.
Mm, that's, you know what, that just shows you though how good it is to be aware of your own boundaries and needs. Because yes to that exactly, like I've even gone to like 2-day conferences where it's taken almost a week to come down from it because I've been so hyped. It's almost like my energy gets really, really frenetic. I don't know if you find this. I get so frenetic with my energy that it just takes me so long to calm down. A room full of people is like my worst nightmare. But funnily enough, I love public speaking. So I can get up in front of loads of people and talk, but put me on the floor and have to talk to different people. And I'm like, oh, what if I've got nothing to say? Like, you know, it just doesn't feel natural to me to like be in that group of, you know, in a real high energy space with a lot of people. It makes me feel a bit anxious, to be honest.
I'm the same. And it's that absorption of emotion where obviously at retreat where, you know, people are doing deep work and there are breakthroughs and there's quite a lot going on. It like energetically, I would be frazzled. And last year I accidentally booked 4 podcast recordings in a day. I usually do 2 and I accidentally did 4. Now, the interesting thing was I thought I would be dead by the 3rd one, but the last 2 were actually the best. But my energy was, I was jittery. It was as if I'd had 10 coffees because I'd taken on, you know, all this energy of the guests. And I was like, I'm not doing that again. Yeah. I needed to not speak to anyone for the next 2 days.
I can't do like more than 2 or 3 coaching sessions in a day. And that's often something I say to my clients, actually. That's when you think about coaching, because pricing is something that I find people really, really struggle with. But when you think about coaching, you cannot coach 8 hours a day, like a job, you know. So actually, if you can only coach for 3 hours a day, you have to charge more because you need to be able to make 7 hours or 8 hours a day money from 3 hours a day, you know, because I mean, if people out there can coach like 5, 6, 7 sessions in a day, more power to you, but Luminek, I'd be dead. Like after each session, I need to go and have at least 30 minutes to, you know, because the thing is, I'm so emotionally and energetically in tuned that it's a real meeting of energies for me, coaching, and I can't disconnect myself from that. So yeah, it is draining. You know, I do give a lot.
You do. And I think that's a very introvert thing as well, when especially when you're training, coaching people more around mindset, because you know, you care about your clients and you want the results. And of course, you know, their energy comes back to you. I've made that mistake before where I've booked back-to-back calls. Ooh. And I was like, never again. I need 30 minutes in between.
Even a discovery call. Like I can't do like more than 2 or 3 discovery calls in a day.
No.
You know, it's like, I need to protect my space.
So at what point did you take a test? Was it the Myers-Briggs that you did? And at what point did you go, oh my, I'm an introvert. What happened?
It's funny, actually. I didn't take a test. I think I've done that Myers-Briggs and I did various tests because I've got a corporate marketing background. So they make you take all those kind of tests back then. But I've always been very strong, very independent, very straightforward, very straight talking, not afraid to voice my opinions. I would never, ever have classed myself as an introvert. And funnily enough, I think when I was in the corporate world, I probably didn't let those tendencies come through enough for it even to have shown on any of those tests that I might have done back then, you know, because it was corporate savvy back then. Like I say, to be honest, it was last year I read this article, and I think it's called Introvert Dear or something like that, the blog, and it was I am an introverted extrovert. And I just saw it online and I clicked into it, and as I was reading it, I was like, yes, oh my god, that's me. And it really was this like penny drop that, right, this is why I've always felt like an outsider, this is why I've always kind of try to be the life and soul of the party a little bit, because if I'm doing that, then nobody really is talking to me in a way that puts me on the spot or makes me feel awkward and uncomfortable. Even now, to be honest, like, I see people walking down the street talking on the phone and I think, who the hell, what, how do you have so much to say? Like, the thought of talking to someone, like, I'm with, like, Glennon Doyle on the fact that, like, I'm the person who doesn't reply to text messages. I hate going on the phone, and it's because it just makes me really kind of, like, socially anxious. So yeah, the penny just dropped last year and I read that article and everything kind of made sense. But like I was saying to you before, I think it's taken me a while to even feel comfortable with the label of being an introvert, because I didn't know how that would, like, would clients want to work with me, this business and marketing coach who's meant to be, you know, give them inspiration and motivation. If I'm an introvert, how is that going to impact them? Is it going to make them not want to work with me? You know, so it has taken me a while to kind of feel my way through it and kind of get comfortable with it in a way.
I think part of the problem is that we've got this myth of the introvert, I'm going to say, which it's like, oh, that means you're shy, or it means you're nervous, or it means you don't like people, or you're not good at public speaking, or you're antisocial, and all of these things, or you're not very confident. And I recorded one of these episodes, it was way back, I think it was episode 6, with Irene Moore. I don't know if you're familiar with Irene. So she's a marketing coach, and, you know, she's worked for big brands. She runs a 6-figure agency. She does her own coaching business as well. Irene's amazing, but she's hugely introverted. And she made a great point. She was like, you know, she said to me, I don't think anyone would ever call either of us underconfident. You know, we're quite happy to go out and voice our opinions and speak, but we are very introverted. Mm. So that, like you say, just means that we don't do it in the same way. It doesn't mean that we're not, we don't have courage beyond our convictions. It doesn't mean that we don't like speaking to people. It just means that we need to step back to recharge.
Yeah. And I think that's why when I realized it was about that energy thing, how introverts, we restore our energy from within and extroverts take it from us, that I was like, oh, right, okay, that's how I can be so confident and so outspoken and so strong and everything and still be an introvert. It doesn't mean I can't do those things. It just means that then I need to step away and have more time for myself. And it's funny, last year it also made me really assess some of my friendships. And, like, I moved away from some friendships that I realised were toxic for me. It wasn't anything to do with them, actually, but it was just they were so extrovert and so needing of my energy that it would just leave me empty every time I would speak to them. Even if I saw the phone ring on, I'd be like, oh, you know. So I've just really become a lot more aware of it and what I need in order to succeed, really, you know, and take care of myself.
I think something else that gets missed quite a lot in this is that, as well as the energetics, it's how we process information. So we process everything internally, which means that it might take us a little bit longer to come to a decision. We are a bit more thorough. All of that research and tinkering that we were talking about earlier, you know, that comes very naturally to us. So when we're thinking something, we don't necessarily share it. We don't speak it out, whereas extroverts do. Now, my best friend is hugely extroverted and I love her to pieces. And when she realized this, she laughed because she's like, oh, when I was in corporate, they used to laugh at me because I'd be like, right, now I'll do this. And she'd be talking out loud to herself because that's how she processes the information.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas we will sit with it. And, you know, it's like any conversation that's going on. Extroverts will be more likely to blurt out what they're thinking because that's how they process. Whereas the introverts will be sat back. So we're often seen as quiet or shy or not getting involved. But in fact, that's just our thought process.
I think that is why I'm an introverted extrovert, because I am actually quite quick to speak my mind and say my piece. But with that, I am, if I'm working on something that's big, I'll ruminate on it in the back of my head for like weeks and weeks and weeks. And then when I finally come to do it, it's all there, if that makes sense. So it's like, it's kind of like filtering through my head. You know, just kind of almost like subconsciously I work things through. And then when I come to actually do it, it's pretty much fully formed. It's really interesting, actually.
My brain works in exactly the same way.
Oh, God, it's so weird, isn't it?
Exactly.
Actually?
It's exactly the same. And my extroverted friend, I was on Zoom with her the other week and I went, oh, because I had an issue with my intensive. It wasn't quite right. I needed to change some things about it, but I wasn't sure what. So I'm just going to sit with it and see. And then I went, So, right. So my intensive, and I literally just blurted all this stuff out. And she was like, oh, that's perfect. And I went, oh, that's when you just come to me. And she's like, it sounds like you planned it out and you've been thinking about that for weeks. And I was like, no, it's been in there, but then it's just come out, like you say, as almost like a perfect piece.
Do you also think, though, that maybe introverts are more closely in tune with their intuition because we are quieter and we allow things to percolate? You know, I've always been very intuitive, very instinctual. Like, my gut is always going to be the thing that I'm going to listen to the loudest. You know, it's always going to be the thing that leads me. And sometimes I almost think it's almost like channeling. You know, when you come, you've thought about it, you've given that time, you've kind of communed with your, you know, your intuition. And then when it comes out, it's like, bam, and people are like that. Whoa, where'd that come from? And you're like, I have no idea. It just came out.
And that's where I think we fall down with this very aggressive hustle, bro marketing type messaging online that's like, you know, just go now, just get it out there in front of people and do it. And like, that's very uncomfortable, not just from a confidence or a visibility point of view, but that's not how we process information.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you've got to, it's why I think it's so important to really understand yourself, your own vision, your own values, you know, your own mission, like why you're doing it. We're talking about why before you press record, like why you're doing it. I always say to my clients that I always think of a mission. I always do this when I talk about mission, because I always think it's something so much bigger than you. It's something you're always kind of like, just, it's just out of your grasp almost. And I think that when you really, really clarify your mission and it's something so powerful, use that to propel you forward always, because I feel like, you know, fear is fleeting, but fear can grip us. But I think if you've got sight of this mission, this bigger purpose, this bigger reason, even through fear, when I look at that, I'm like, no, I'm not going to sit here and do nothing. I'm going to keep moving forward because I can see that's where I'm going. And I think that's a mistake a lot of online business owners make, is not being so crystal clear about that mission, that purpose, that why. And then you're just floundering. You know, it's really hard to stay focused. And it's hard, you know, we all have fears. We all have imposter syndrome. We all have comparisonitis. Anyone who says they don't, to be honest, I think they're probably lying. We all have those things. I have those things all the time as well. But it's my mission and my focus on that that keeps me plodding onwards, kind of thing, keeps me going through the fear. For introverts, that's something that could be super helpful, because it kind of, it's bigger than you and it kind of keeps you moving forward.
And that's absolutely what I had with a client the other week. And this is the downside of the internalization, because she had internalized so much about not wanting to do something. It was all about her. It was like, oh, well, I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't feel comfortable. What if so-and-so thinks this of me? What if? And then reframing it as like, but what about the people you're trying to reach? What about the people you're trying to serve? What about the one person that really needs to hear this today, whether they become a client or not? It's not even about that. But, you know, if you go out and say this and spread this message, and it's not just about whether you feel like going live or, you know, if you want to do the post or not. And then she was like, oh yeah, that feels completely different, because it feels a lot more expansive. It feels like a contribution. Whereas at the start, it felt like a chore.
The fastest way through fear is to get into service. 110%, because fear is all internal. Spotlight syndrome, everyone's watching us, I'm all in my own head, I'm all in my own space, I'm allowing all these thoughts and fears and emotions to really guide me and rule me. The fastest way out of that is like, right, how can I help that person today? How can I step from this into service? It's the fastest way through fear. Stop making it about you, step into service. It always works.
I am with you, and I hope that anyone listening that's earlier along in their business journey is listening to Sally and I and realize that the struggles are the same for everyone. These feelings of discomfort, the feelings of growth, the learning about yourself, the trial and error, the all of it, it's, you know, it's universal. And like you say, don't believe that anyone that says they don't have these fears, because they're there. It just means that they've come up with a mindset and mechanisms for moving past them and concentrating on what's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just about picking up the tools along the way, isn't it? So that when things come up, it's like, I've got loads of triggers now. And I'm like, as soon as something triggers me, I'm like, okay, now I know why that's happening. And so now I know what to do, you know? And that's not something that you can just read a book on and pick it up overnight. You've almost got to experience it for yourself to understand what it is you need in that moment. But yeah, we're all exactly the same. Like, we all feel, think, you know, it's like we all go through these days, you know, where we're just like, oh my God, this is so hard.
I do that. I used to go, I'd be thinking something and get into like a negative thought spiral or what. And then, you know, I started to realize it was a story. I was telling myself a story. So then I got this thing when I recognized that, I would voice note my friend. I'd be like, I think I'm telling myself a story. And I'd tell her what it was. And she'd be like, yes, there's no factual basis for that. You are, in fact, telling yourself a story. Yeah. So that helped me. But you know, now I've been doing this for so long that if it pops in almost straight away, I go, no, that's just a story, and push it out. But that didn't happen on day one. That was a work in progress.
A quick trick I always think is to say it out loud or to write it down. Because once you've said it or you've written it down and then you look at it, you're like, that's ridiculous. Come on now. How can I possibly even, you know, because when it's inside your brain, it's like a thought in the dead of night when it's dark. It gets big and big and hairy and it grows teeth and all this kind of stuff. But then when you write it down, you're like, oh my God, that's teeny tiny. It doesn't even make any sense. Like that, I'm just going to move right past that immediately. You know, my two words for this year are faith and focus. And I think if you can have faith in yourself, you know, and faith in your abilities and faith in what you're here to do and faith in your mission, that can supersede any fear. You know, faith trumps fear every single time, for sure.
My lovely friend and client, Leslie Calvo, who's a mindset coach, she has something similar to you. She says, say it out loud in a silly voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the best because you'll hear it. She's like, do it in a cartoon character, Disney type voice. And then you'll just be like, what the
actual... Take the power. Yeah, take the power out of it.
Have you ever used the fear inventory?
No.
Of getting rid of...
No, I like the sound of that though.
So I shouldn't have started this because I don't have all the details in front of me.
I'll Google it, don't worry.
Yeah, Google it and see what comes up. But it's something that my own coach does with all, well, she does herself a lot and she does with all of her clients. And it's basically a way of writing down what you're scared of if you succeed. So you write down the thing that you want the most that you're not achieving. And then you write down all of the reasons and you have to write at least 20 reasons of what you're scared of if you actually succeed. And it gets, you know, you go really deep and it's quite draining. And then she gets me to write them out every day. So you write the list of 20 things out again every day. And you literally get to the point, you're like, I'm sick of writing this out. Like, this is ridiculous. And that's how you know it's gone.
Yeah, I often say, I do something similar with my clients when they start my group coaching program, but I am going to Google that because I love a good framework and system. But yeah, I often say to my clients, you'll get over the fear when your frustration at the fear grows so blooming ginormous, you actually can't stand to listen to yourself.
You don't want to listen to yourself anymore. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so done with this. Yeah. There'll come a tipping point where your frustration will overcome your fear. Yeah. And I think when that happens, that's when you can become a six-figure business owner in 6 months. Because once you've done that work, you've pulled through it all, you've got all that foundation stuff laid, and then you get so frustrated with holding yourself small, you're like, no, 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 no. From now on in, it's going to be faith and focus all the way. That's when your business will suddenly become an overnight success.
Yeah, and I can speak that from experience because it was that kind of work, like the fear inventory and doing that daily and through, that when I went to write it out, that I just went, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Like, enough with that already. This is just, or you read something and you go, what? Like, what was I even thinking? How was that even an issue?
I even struggle now to write out things or to speak aloud things that I was afraid of before because they feel so far away from who I am now. I'm even repelled from writing them or speaking them. Like if I say, oh, I used to be afraid that I didn't know enough. Now I'm like, really? Like I almost can't bear to even say that anymore because it's so far from the truth for me now.
Yeah, so far detached. I think that's where it's helpful as well. If you do have support, whether it's in the form of a coach or whether it's friends, you know, that are in a similar space and similar journey, that like is that you can just go, I think I'm telling myself a story here, and yeah, be objective and be like, yeah. And they do the same. That like my friend voice noted me this morning. She's like, I think this is a mindset issue, but I'd love your thoughts on it. You know, just for that second opinion of actually, once you've gotten to that stage of awareness of, oh, I think I'm actually being a bit ridiculous, but that's a great place to be in rather than just taking your thoughts as gospel.
Yeah, that's why I said before, like as soon as you're aware of it, you're aware of the trigger, you're aware of the pattern, you know, it's almost like being an alcoholic, isn't it? The first time you acknowledge it, then the power kind of goes out of it a little bit. It's like, yes, I am Sally and I am, you know, I am afraid, I'm this, I'm whatever, whatever. But as soon as you recognize it and you bring attention and focus to it, you can deal with it. Then you can recognize it down the path and change, you know, make a different decision for yourself. You know, we've all got choice. This is the thing. You know, you might feel crippled by fear, sat behind your computer, afraid to press send or whatever it is. We've all got choice, you know, and just moving through that fear. And it's funny as well, actually, I think sometimes people are like, oh, you've got to be fearless. I don't think so. I think you've got to get really comfortable with fear walking beside you a lot of the time, because it's not going to actually go away. You just have to learn to move through it sufficiently to take the action you need to take, because it's probably going to be lingering there. You know, you're not going to leave it behind completely.
Exactly that. And those actions, it's funny because my to-do list for today, when I look down it, there are things on there that would have been extremely uncomfortable for me even probably a year ago. You know, I'm doing outreach to some people for collaborations and things like that, that I would have been like, oh, like straight away, like, well, they're not going to be interested in me, so I'm not going to do this. Now it's almost like it goes through the motions. I'm like, oh, right, who's on that list? Okay, right, send that email next. And that's not to say there's not fear in other aspects of my business, but what once felt like such a huge mountain to climb eventually just becomes part of your daily actions.
Yeah. I do think with that as well, when you've got systems and processes in place, you can trust the plan, trust the system, trust the process, and take the emotion out of it for a minute. You know, it's like you've got that plan, you've made that plan, you might have your template of the text you send out or whatever it is. You know, it's almost like, right, I'm just going to trust this process. I'm just going to let, I'm just going to forget anything else. I'm just going to do the action.
Yeah, I'm just going to send it out.
Yeah. But if every time you're having to like, what am I going to say? And how's it going to be received? And like go inside your own head, that's when it's going to stop you. You know, businesses built on systems and processes, they're the businesses that grow and do really, really well. You know, not the ones where you're just kind of like splashing around in the kiddies pool wondering what to do next.
And I think it's that detachment from the outcome. And you know, we talk about a lot, and it, you know, and it can be a difficult thing at the start, but definitely I would have felt like if they don't want to, you know, collaborate with me, or what, like it says something about me, it means something about me. I'm crap, I failed and blah, blah, blah. And now like my mindset around that is bulletproof. Like I might see a no and be disappointed because it would have been a good opportunity, but I don't take it personally. I think, well, it's not a good fit for them, or they're busy, or, you know, I'm not the right person in their business, or that's not what they're interested in spending their time doing right now. And I say no to people. So, and I appreciate that. And it's nothing to do with the people. It's just not right for me and my audience. So I think when you can take that aspect out of it, and it's just like, oh, here's an opportunity. Let me see if I can create something from it. And whether it's a yes or a no, it doesn't matter. You've still put yourself out there.
Yeah. Detach. Someone said to me last year, detach from the outcome. And I was like, huh? What are you? Like, I've never even heard anyone say that, but I had to Google it. I was like, what the hell is she on about? But as soon as I started reading it, I was like, this is one of the places that I'm going really, really wrong. I am attaching my self-worth to the outcome of every single action I'm taking in my business. No wonder I'm exhausted. No wonder I'm at burnout stage. No wonder my business isn't flowing the way that I want it to. And so that was a big piece of work that I really had to do last year. My words were release and receive. And the release was really about detaching from the outcome and allowing myself not to attach my self-worth to the outcome of every single part of my business. That's exhausting. And if you do that, you're never going to move forward, really, or you're going to find it really, really hard.
And that's something I see a lot in newer entrepreneurs, where they just start to get on sales calls with people and maybe they'll get a no because someone said, oh, I can't afford that, or it's too expensive. And straight away they go, oh, my prices are too high, I need to lower my prices. And it's like, no, it's nothing about you and your prices, and it's not about your self-worth or what you can offer. If that person, for whatever reason, can't or isn't prepared to invest that's not about you. That's that person's decision. And I think once they can take that aspect out of it, rather than feeling like, oh, I need to change my whole business model because someone said no.
Yeah, it makes you super reactionary, doesn't it, when you're attached to the outcome?
Very.
You know, and if rather than being proactive and getting in front of everything all the time, you're just running up behind it, ooh, chasing it all the time, you know. So yeah, detaching from the outcome is a huge lesson, I think, to learn.
I think it's that whole resilience part. I mean, I don't know if you know my background, Sally, but I was an air traffic controller.
Yes,
I've been
reading. Yeah, I like it when you do your little posts of like what I've done, you know, what I've done in the last year. And I've learned a lot about you actually from your Instagram. Your content strategy is obviously very good.
Oh, well, that's good to know for somebody that was scared to be visible. But
I've enjoyed reading about your background actually, and how you actually took like 3 months off to really spend some time. I thought, God, respect, because that's a very, very, very bold and brave thing to do. It's something, to be honest, when I read that, I thought, oh, I wish I'd done that last year. That would have really, really served me, actually. I've enjoyed reading your story, actually.
Oh, well, I am glad. And that was definitely the right thing for me to do. But when I was training air traffic controllers, so I was training the trainees under my license on live traffic, so live aircraft over the skies of London. That's the only way they can learn. I have a button so I can override if they make a mistake, which of course they do because they're trainees and they have to do around 400 hours before they can be qualified. So when they would make a mistake, the first thing I had to do is go, carry on. Because if they stopped at I've made a mistake, I made it about them, you know, oh, I'm crap, I can't do this. Everything else is still moving at 500 miles an hour and you can't have that. And it's that mindset of it's a blip, it's a, you know, we'll talk about it later, but for now, you're still plugged in. There's still things to do. Just like carry on. Don't let it bother you. And I take that mindset, I guess, a lot into my business. Like if someone says no, it's like, okay, fine. I've still got to carry on, because what I want to achieve at the end of this is more than just this person's opinion.
Yeah, I think sometimes we can get too trapped in our own heads about everything. You know, I read this book a few years ago called Stop Thinking, Start Living. And it was like, oh my God, like how much easier. And actually, like, I think a lot of guys live their lives this way, like quite simple on the surface, don't really spend too much time thinking about things. And on the whole, they're a lot happier than we are. and it's about that. It's exactly what you just said, you know, stop being in your own head and overanalyzing every single thing. Stop thinking about what you've done or what's worked. Just move, just keep moving that steady, consistent forward motion, you know. Stop overanalyzing it and being stuck in your own head with it all, you know, because it's like torture. It's like we're torturing ourselves when we do that to ourselves. It's painful, you know.
So before we wrap up on the subject of books, I would love to know your book recommendation for any ambitious introverts listening who would love to grow an online business.
So my book recommendation is Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I'm sure I'm not the first person to recommend this book.
I think only the second, actually. Although I've had many discussions about it with friends, but I think you're only the second person to say it. It's amazing, isn't it?
Honestly, it was like, I mean, if you look inside my copy, there is like highlights on almost every single page. It was the most revelationary book I think I've ever read. And I think a lot of the lessons that she teaches, well, a lot of the things she says in here will resonate really, really deeply. And it's there's just so many things. It's like finding more joy in your life, you know, and taking more time to have more joy. And I mean, there's just so many things in that book. And on the front, it says, stop pleasing, start living. Like, stop thinking, start living. Like, I realized that I was too much of a people pleaser. I was doing so much for everybody else that my energy was all off. This Untamed by Glennon Doyle, I think it's not just a book that every woman should read. I really think it's a book that every human on the planet should read. It is that profound. It's amazing.
I would agree. I've had male friends read it. I've recommended it to them and they loved it as well. Yeah, it's great. And from an introvert's point of view, and if you're highly sensitive and an empath too, you'll find in it, one of Glenn and Dore's daughters is obviously very sensitive and introverted, and the story about the polar bears. And it's very interesting where, you know, society dismisses the way we think, but Glenn and Dore recognizes it in her child. And it's like, okay, we've all moved on from this, but she's still in it. She's still processing it. And, you know, so that's, I thought that was really enlightening to see.
I love the way she actually said that her child, in the olden days, should have been seen as a prophet. Because people who see the world in that way, through those highly sensitive, empathetic eyes, we see things happening in the world that other people not like us just don't see. We are the prophets of our generation. We are the ones who have to step forward and say, this is how I'm seeing this. This is not the way it's meant to be. You know, because we assume everyone's seeing the world like we are, but they're just not. You know, so I kind of like to think of myself like that now. Yes, I'm a prophet. I see things differently to other people. And that's a real blessing.
Oh, I love that. See, that is definitely leaning into your introvert, empath, sensitive traits. And I love it. I'm going to drop the book in the show notes for anyone that is interested. Sally, I'm going to put all of your contact details also in the show notes. But just for anyone listening now that's out and about and wants to look you up straight away, where's the one best place they can find you online?
SallyOddie.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram and everything on Sally Oddie. So you'll find me. Google me and you'll find me.
Lovely. I drop it in there. Thank you so, so much for coming and being a guest today.
Thank you. I've loved that. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ambitious Introvert Podcast with me, Emma Louise Parks. If you enjoy this show, please, please subscribe, rate and leave a review on iTunes. As a thank you, one lucky reviewer each month will win a 60-minute one-on-one coaching session with me, where you'll get the clarity and confidence to attract your ideal clients. And if you know someone who could benefit from listening to the show, then please do share and help me reach as many fellow ambitious introverts as possible.